Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Steinman from Random Encounter, the RPG Fan Podcast, and today we've got a little interview for you guys. We got a hold of some of the guys working on Kingdom Come Deliverance, the upcoming Western-style RPG that is very focused on historical accuracy. And today I'm talking with Tobias Stoltz, the PR manager, and Martin Ziegler, the technical designer on the game, and we're going to ask them a lot of hard questions and try to get some answers here. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, fine, thank you.
Yeah, fine, how are you?
Doing okay. Again, as I said before we started, I haven't had any coffee this morning, so the listeners will understand how important that is to me. But hopefully I'll be able to maintain here a little bit. There's quite a time difference between us and the Czech Republic, it would seem.
Yes, but how's the weather right now in the Feliz?
It's not terrible. It's actually very warm today. It got up to about 45, maybe get up to about 50 by this afternoon. But we got hit with about 27 inches of snow last week.
Oh, wow.
And my little corgi mix of a dog could not handle it quite so well. So what about in the Czech Republic? What's the weather like out there?
Well, it's getting better. We have 10 degrees plus, so the snow is already melted. Everything is away. We had minus 20 degrees here, so this was like extremely freezing. But it's getting warm. So I guess that's a good sign for an Eastern European country.
And that was obviously Celsius, right? That you were given.
Yes.
and see, we're on the bastardized Fahrenheit system out here again. Product of the American school system. So I guess the first question I have for you guys is kind of what drew the team to make a game steeped in such a realistic medieval setting? Like, what were some of the inspirations for you guys? Because, you know, there's been such a love of Western RPGs that are kind of dipped in the fantasy roles, your Skyrims and stuff like that. But this game seems really, really steeped in that historical setting. So can you guys speak to that a little bit?
Of course. So there are pretty much more factors why we decided to go this way, or why our creative director, Daniel Barbara, decided to go this way. Of course, he is a Czech person and he kind of wants to represent or show Czech history. But this is pretty much not only Czech history, because our game sets place in the Holy Roman Empire, which was by far one of the biggest and most influential, countries or... empires. Yes, that's the word. One of the biggest and most important empires by that time and in general in Europe. So, and this is a, let's say, piece of history which is not very much covered by video games. Like, you can find it in books and you can find it in movies. Of course, there are also some video games, like strategy games. Let's think about the Paradox games, for example. They kind of cover this area, but no RPG did before. So this is obviously something he came up with. And then, of course, he's, let's say, also a bit of a businessman, not only focused on his own history. So he thought that having a medieval realistic RPG is something that wasn't there on the market before. So what we try to do with Kingdom Come Deliverance is pretty much tell the story of our ancestors, of the Czech ancestors or European ancestors. And at the same time, we want to bring something to the market which is very unique, which try to focus on a strong story, which try to focus on historical events, and which tries to be as realistic as possible. So you will pretty much get the chance to see Bohemia in the year 1403 and see the real historical life. So that's pretty much the reason why we have chosen this part. And this is also because obviously not very much people know about this time period, but we kind of hope for the, I always call it Braveheart effect, because if Mel Gibson wouldn't do a movie about William Wallace, no one would know about Scottish history. And we think that the Holy Roman Empire has so many cool stories, so many intriguing stories, so many kidnapping and bloody wars, that there's a lot of cool stories to tell, and we are going this way.
Cool. That was kind of the feeling. We didn't have a chance to see the game. You were at E3, I believe, and we didn't have a chance to really go see it, but it was amazing to kind of see people coming out and talking about the game and saying, it's something that's familiar yet different. Like, you have that first-person style questing gameplay, sword and shield style combat, but having such a different setting, that seemed to really be appealing to people. And I think you guys are getting the response that you expected in regards to that.
Of course. Well, it's not only in video games or in every industry where you design something, you of course always watch the market and see what you like there and try to avoid the things you don't like. So of course we have, there are many games out there which were brilliant, which inspired us a lot. Let's say Skyrim, let's say Dragonborn, Dragon Age, all those kind of RPGs. But then we missed the realistic or historical part, and that's the edge or the part we want to jump in and we want to make it better this way. Because, as I said again, this never happened before, and we try to go... We are pretty much patriots, I would call ourselves, in this type of video game. And you were right that we had a lot of... Even back then in Kickstarter, because we are a crowdfunded company, this is a crowdfunded game pretty much, we had very good response back then, very good feedback. And this is pretty much through the whole development. We try to be very close to the community. We try to ask them a lot of questions. We want to gather a lot of feedback. And we do that with our alphas, for example. So we have an updating system. That means that we have several different alphas, which are updated from time to time. But we do this to be very close to the community, to ask them, what do you like? What don't you like? What would you change? And stuff like this, to pretty much not only create the game we think is very cool, but also a game that the community or the people out there think is very cool. And this is the advantage of modern game releasing, let's say, where you don't have to be, where you don't have to stick to the publisher, but where you can be, let's say, an indie developer and do your own thing.
Cool. So now when it comes to the questing system for the game, I guess that's kind of the big thing for me, is like the idea of going around this environment, interacting with all these stories that you already briefly touched upon. You know, can you talk a little bit about how the questing system will work? Are there going to be factions that you can kind of side with, or is this more of a linear traditional story?
Well, I would say it's a mixture of both. We have this historical, like in this game, we will have you can't change history, so you will pretty much see something that really happened, and you can't obviously not change that. So you have to stick this. So this might be linear, but on the other hand, it's pretty much about how you decide to solve those quests, or how you decide to shape your character, or which impact you have on this story. So it's about you, how you play this game and how you want to behave inside this game. So it's, I would call it semi-linear. In today's world, linearity seems to be something bad, but we don't think so. And as I said, it's a mixture, and the questing system, you already said a bit about that, we don't have a classical class system where you can choose to be a knight or something like this, or a rogue, or a thief, or something like this. It's more about, you are always playing Henry, the son of a blacksmith. You're always one of the people, a no one, pretty one, and you will always stay Henry, the son of a blacksmith. You will never become a king or a ruler or troop leader or something like this, but it's more about how you shape his character, how you decide to solve quests, if you are more the violent guy who tries to kill everyone on the map, or if you are more the diplomatic guy, try to talk you out of problems. You can pretty much also avoid fighting if you decide to do so, but everything you do, and that's very important for the entire game, everything you decide to do in the game will have a proper feedback, will give you a proper feedback. That means that it pretty much depends on how you solve those quests, because everything will have an impact on later quests or the outcome of the story. But maybe Martin will tell you a bit more details about the questing and what's important there.
Well, the important thing to keep in mind is that the quests are only one of the things that we want to drive you through the entire open world that we've created, but it's just let's say half of the gameplay that we want to, one of the pillars of the gameplay that we want to that we want the players to have. We also want the world to be sort of a sandbox that you can play in, and that you can try to interact with, that you can try to understand, you can try to break, that you can try to interfere with. So we do want you to have some sort of storyline that will drive you from the beginning to the end, and then it will also sort of lead you to the places where you are supposed to be at the time, where the challenges are most appropriate for the skill that you are probably going to have at the time. But at the same time, we do have a large open world map, so you're free to explore the world, either to do the side quests in any particular order, so that's some sort of non-linearity, And also you can just ignore the quests altogether and just try to interact with the world, interact with the basic gameplay mechanics that we have. And while it's true that the quests in themselves, or let's say the quest lines, are linear and you don't really have too many opportunities to actually branch and reach, say, different endings or stuff like that, we do try to make the quests themselves non-linear. So we do want the particular quests to have different ways that you can approach them and different ways that you can solve them. And where it's possible, also different endings to those quests, even when usually we do sort of drive all these different endings to the same next step in the particular quest line.
I will try to make that a bit more clear. Just imagine to have a quest where you have to find someone who you desperately need to find because you need to ask him questions and you need him for later story parts. So, but you also know that bandits are looking for him, trying to kill him. So three things can happen in our game in Kingdom Come. Either you find him first and you can pretty much save him and you will get the information you need, or you come way too late and he will be already dead, so you need to find another way to solve later quests. Or the third option, and that's pretty interesting, I would say, you can find him just in time while the bandits are already torturing him or like capturing him. And you can now decide again, do you want to help this poor fella and kill the bandits? Or do you want to side on the bandit side and kill this guy and use the bandits later in different quests? Or don't do nothing and just look and see what happens. And again, everything you decide to do, well, you can decide whatever you want, but everything you decide will lead to a new consequence. So, as I said, the game pretty much responds to every action you do in the game. On the other side, if someone approaches you and tells you, let's go kill those bandits right now in this forest, and you decide not to go, he will not stand somewhere behind some tree with a big question mark on his head. No, he will go there himself. The game will simulate the situation. Either he might die, or some other quest will be open, some other quest might be closed. So something will resolute out of the decision you made not to help him. And this is pretty much what we want to have in the game. The goals, or the quest ending, is you need to kill this one person, or you need to find this one person, but it depends on you how to kill this person or how you approach in the questing. So this is pretty interesting, I would say.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a lot of replayability, and you're not creating a static world where, like you said, the character is just going to sit there with the question mark above their head, or this person who's been kidnapped, oh man, I could save them now or maybe 20 hours from now. It sounds like the world kind of keeps moving regardless of the player's actions. Is that kind of fair to say?
Yes, exactly. That requires a strong AI system, which is running in the back. We develop it here in-house. So we are also co-working with the Prague University. So pretty much our entire AI department is filled with PhD students or PhD guys who are using our AI system as a PhD project. So yes, there's a huge AI system running in the background, kind of simulating the dynamic world. And every NPC in this world will have a daily cycle, and you can mess with it, of course. So exactly as you said, there's a huge AI system which runs the world and which the game pretty much plays itself somehow. Not the way that you stand somewhere and after 30 hours it says congratulations, but the way that again, it reacts to the actions or the decisions you did.
Cool. Can you talk a little bit about the character growth system? Like, how does your character grow in this kind of RPG world? Do they gain new abilities? Do they get stronger equipment? Like, you know, when you're talking about Skyrim or Fallout, it's always like when you level up, you get that new perk, that new thing that kind of makes your character a little bit more badass. But I don't know, I don't know if that really fits in with this kind of realistic setting that you're creating. So then what are kind of some of the RPG mechanics of character growth in Kingdom Come?
The story is again set, as I've said before, you will always play Henry, the son of the blacksmith. You will never become a ruler or something, or a noble. You will never lead any troops or something. You will be always on your own with, in some quests, with some companions maybe, but they will go away after the quest. But we have a mixed RPG system with different approaches. Martin will tell you more about that, but it's kind of different, because if you manage to kill the full armor guy in the first 5 minutes, you can pretty much take his armor. But Martin will tell you more about that.
Well, overall, it is an RPG, so we do have all the stuff that you would expect in an RPG. You do have skills, you do have stats, you do try to gather experience to improve on those. So this is something that works pretty much as we are used to these systems in RPGs, but we do have different twists and sort of improvements to those. So we do have perks that you mentioned. Basically, that's something that you receive whenever you level up in a particular skill. You can pick one of those special perks that will improve your skill in particular situations, or you can pick a perk that will provide a particular twist to the ways that you are able to do use the skill. So we do have a lot of those. In terms of equipment, of course, that you are improving upon that as well, and that's actually, I would say that that's actually more important in Kingdom Come than we are used to in usual RPGs, and that's in line with our trying to be authentic, because that's how it worked. Like, even a very good swordsman won't really have a good chance of beating a much worse swordsman who is better equipped. So equipment was very important in medieval fencing, and we do want to reflect that in our game mechanics. So it is very important for you to gather good equipment, and of course you do have skills that apply during combat. So as you go and as you encounter and win in different skirmishes, your skills, as in terms of the numbers that represent your skill in that particular weapon, so for example your sword fighting, your mace fighting, your axe fighting, will improve, and that in gameplay terms translates to longer time slots that you can that give you like longer times for you to react to your opponent moves. You can unlock different combos. That's sort of the perks that I talked about, like in terms of combat, those actually are special moves that you can do against opponents that have like particular equipment or stuff like that. But also what improves is your skill as a player. Our combat is actually quite hard to master. Like there's a lot of space for you to improve as a player in terms of hitting those time slot windows and hitting the particular combos and stuff like that. So in parallel to like your character of Henry improving, you also improve as a player. So we do believe there's a lot of graduation going on during the course of the game, and that we will keep you entertained from start to finish.
Yes, I always say our combat is easy to learn but hard to master.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, that's actually good, because that's the next area I was going into, was your combat system. We've seen first-person combat done in a multitude of games. I think the only game that I ever liked first-person combat was Condemned Criminal Origins. I think that's the only game that ever got it right. But like in Skyrim, it just felt like I was waving my sword and just hoping to God that I would hit people. It didn't have that tactical responsiveness. What are you guys doing different with your combat system? Like, why is this going to be the first person melee combat system that gets it right?
Well, the biggest thing is, I guess, A, of course, the realistic approach, because we have real sword fighters who are helping us and helping us to decode medieval manuscripts about medieval fencing. So we believe to represent the best medieval historical fencing ever displayed in a video game. And on the other hand, we have something very interesting, is that we have physical collisions while fighting. That means that your sword or the weapons can slide over each other, and your weapon is physically colliding with the armor of the opponent. You mentioned Skyrim. If you remember the fight, you have pretty much your sword were always magically slicing through the body of the opponent and then returning to default position.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that. We have 5 different attack zones. That's A, so you can attack from to the head, left, bottom left, bottom right, top left, top right. And again, when you attack from the top, let's say, your sword will remain on one of the lower positions, just where you expect the sword should be after the first hit. If you hit again, you will attack from the bottom automatically, unless you will choose your change your stance or change the way you want to attack, which takes more time to change it again, of course. But the interesting thing, or most interesting thing, is the physical collision, and Martin knows again more about that.
Yeah, so, well, that's actually one of the most interesting features of Kingdom Come. I would say that's something that was quite a risk to try to implement, because it really required a new technology that nobody in the world was sure would work. And the reason why, as you brought up, exactly, like a lot of games tried to implement first-person combat the way we do, and none of them succeeded really, or at least in any remarkable way, because it is remarkably difficult to compute at real time. So what we did a few years ago was that basically we guessed that by the time that we would be, basically by 2016, by the time that we would want the combat module to be ready, we guessed that the computer, that the computing power would be enough, at, and that's actually, that actually turned out to be true. What we're doing is that we're simulating the physical collision of whatever you have in hand, so that means your weapon or your shield, with any armor that you may equip. So what does that mean in gameplay terms? Is that in Skyrim, if you wield a sword that deals more damage, that just increases a number. And if your opponent holds a shield, that just increases another number, right? Like your attack and like his defense. And then when you hit him, they basically just do some sort of math based on these numbers, and they deal damage. But it doesn't really matter like where you hit him, how fast you hit him, stuff like that. What we do is that we actually calculate the physical collision of your sword. So we take the weight of the sword into account. We weigh the speed of the sword into account. And your shield will help you if we hit the shield. Like the function of the shield in our game is actually that it will block the weapon. It will actually slow the physical collision down. It will block the collision. But unless you manage to block the blow with your shield, it's useless. If you have a shield and I hit you in the head, like that's basically that basically renders the shield useless, right, in real life. And that's what we based our combat module on. So we do hope that it, like this approach gives rise to a lot of emergent situations. Like you might want to target your opponent like based on how well equipped he is. On different parts of his body. So for example, if you see someone who is wearing full plate armor and is not wearing a helmet, like it's tactical of you to try to hit him on the head, right? And that's actually something that is a valid strategy, that like it does provide you a serious advantage in our combat system. So that's what we are doing, and it turns out to be actually quite fun. So we hope we're proved right.
Cool. I guess like the next question is it just sword and shield combat, or is there going to be like archery, or are there going to be things like that? And then to further that question, a lot of times in like modern game design, the developers always want to just up the ante on combat. So I'm thinking about like the Batman Arkham combat, where all of a sudden some enemies have batons and some enemies are now carrying around shields. How do you guys keep your combat fresh the whole way through the experience without having to resort to some of those quirkier things that wouldn't be found in a more realistic setting?
Well, the easiest answer is that you will never be overpowered, and that you always have to have the personal skill in fighting when you want to challenge someone. Because even though the RPG system supports you, even though you have very good armor and a very sharp sword or something like this, you will always lose against, or not always, but you tend to lose against 2, 3, or 4 opponents. So at the same time, I mean, that means that you will always have to think about, can I take on this guy? Should I rather shoot him with a bow? Should I attack him from the back? Should I backstab him? You can't just run into the opponents and do button mash and win the fight like Legolas and Lord of the Rings, killing 20 people with dancing around. So this is pretty much never working in Kingdom Come Deliverance. So you will always need that personal skill of yourself.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's true. So, I mean, we do I have a lot of different weapons. To answer your earlier questions, like, we do have swords, we do have axes, we have maces, we do have shields, and that's something that actually you have to approach differently. So that's one of the things that you need to learn as you go. And actually, I'm not sure if you even start with a weapon. I think that during the very first moments of the game, you don't actually have any weapon, because you're not supposed to. You're not a soldier. You're just son of a blacksmith. So you don't even have a weapon, and we do have a fist fight. So that's the first thing that you learn. And then it's not that easy to actually gather all the equipment. So you do start just with a sword. A little bit later, so you do have to learn how to fight with a sword. Only then you have a shield, so you have to relearn how to fight with a sword and a shield. Then you actually receive all the other weapons, so that's something that you have to learn. As I mentioned earlier, you also level up in those skills and you open particular combos, so that's something that you need to learn as you go as well. And then, of course, we have horses, and you can fight on horses, so that's another thing that you need to learn. And of course, we do have a fixed storyline, so we do have some sort of space for the challenges to increase in difficulty gradually. So we're not going to, or what I'm going to say is, like, the challenges at the beginning of the game are obviously easier, so you're usually just fighting one guy who is not very well equipped, but as you progress during the game, you obviously face harder challenges. So there's going to be skirmishes against multiple opponents, and that's definitely a much harder challenge. So we do have a lot of space for things to graduate during the game. So I don't think you will be bored.
Cool. And on your website, there's a lot of pictures of those bigger combats, and now imagining that you're building this real one-on-one system, how do those larger combat moments work? Am I going to be like squaring up for a guy and it's like the hilarious moment in Braveheart or something, where then I just get impaled by somebody else because I was focused in on one person? Like, how do you handle the larger battles?
Before, first I want to point out that we will of course have larger scale battles, and we will of course want to implement castle sieges and stuff, but since, again, we try to be realistic and historically accurate, those things didn't happen now and then. It was like more, you have to see this like the big finale of a large quest line, or a big finale of the first act of Kingdom Come Deliverance. So this will, the plot of the game will lead to those big fights, but of course you will have to fight against with people along other people, so we will never lead them, but you will be part of the army pretty much. And we will introduce also the first glimpse of our larger scale battles in the beta, which is about to be released in the next months. You want to say something about the
About the large scale battles? Yeah. I mean, it's not really, the large scale battles are for there to enjoy, but they're not really there for you to decide, because we are sort of trying to make things realistic. So if we're fighting, you know, say the fight in the beta is going to be about 50 soldiers against 50 soldiers. So obviously, like, the one person on either side is not probably the one who's going to sway things either way. Like, obviously, you can play an important role during the battle. So we do have a lot of stuff like special actions that you can do during the battle to sway the battle on your side. Like, you can, you know, try to outmaneuver the opponent, like, in a very clever way or stuff like that. But the most important part of the battle is actually usually happening before the battle. There's usually, as Toby said, there's usually a storyline that leads up to the battle. And that's the point where you gather reconnaissance, you can perform various sabotages, you do have a lot of ways to influence the outcome of the battle. So that's the way that you actually make sure that you will win when the battle comes. But during the actual battle, it's pretty much the one-on-one combat most of the time. And of course, you do have to take care about your rear, you do have to take about your flank. But the most important part that decides the outcome of the battle usually happens before the battle. But we do have some stuff saved up for the actual moment of the battle as well. So That's the answer.
And you can also lose the battle, of course, which will have an impact on the story again.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I think we're coming to the end here. The last question I have for you guys, and obviously you don't have to answer it if you don't have anything for me, if you want to keep secrets, but is there anything that you can give our listeners, like a little piece of information about the game that nobody knows about? And again, if you can't, that's totally fine. I understand. I'll just hate you forever. No, I won't actually do that.
Then I will hate you back.
That's fine.
Well, we already did that, actually, because we introduced pretty much the beta combat or beta skirmish, or at least a glimpse of it. So that's something not many people know. Now you do.
Okay.
So this is one thing. And the other thing, of course, since we want to show the story of Kingdom Come Deliverance for the first time in the beta, which because in the alpha it is a technical alpha, that's why it's more a lineup of features without a story in the background. So people were asking if realism can be fun, and with the beta we will for the first time want to pretty much show that realism is really fun and that you can have a lot of fun in Kingdom Come Deliverance. And we are preparing some small trailers and intros to show even some historical material. So there's a lot to see in the beta, and I would say there's a lot to look forward to.
All right. Tobias, Martin, thank you so much, and I think we'll definitely have more on Kingdom Come Deliverance in the coming months as we approach a release date that is planned for ...
We are planning to release the game by the end of this year, and the beta should be released in the next weeks.
All right, fantastic. Well, thanks so much, guys. And to our listeners, stay tuned for more information on Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your time. Thank you.